Good evening, everyone. Everyone have a good Thanksgiving break? Yeah? Yeah, how many people ate a bunch of turkey? And stuffing, and actually, this is my first year being vegetarian for Thanksgiving, so it was a little bit odd, but we made some stuffing and mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie, and so I got most of the works just without the turkey, so it was a little bit weird, but it was still awesome. And it's a great time to sit and to be thankful and to really just remember all of the things and provisions that God has put in our lives. And actually, that's what this series is going to be about a little bit, is going to be looking at provisions and things that God does in various people's lives, and things that we have to be thankful for, and really just about embracing the Christmas season and the Advent season, and taking it as a time to look forward and to be excited and to be thankful for the gift of Jesus. And so it's called Silent Night. And we're going to look at three different silent nights that are in the early portion of the New Testament, in Luke 1, Matthew 1, and Luke 2. And today we're going to start off by looking at a man called Zechariah. And Zechariah is, let's just dive into it, and we'll see what he's all about. So the first portion where it talks about him is in Luke 1, chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to them. It says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. So a few things that we gain or that we learn from this passage is that they are both from these kind of righteous lines. Zechariah himself is a priest and from this priestly order, and they are people who follow the law. They are people who have a relationship with God, and they are also childless. And in those times, especially for a woman, but for a family in general, it was really shameful to be without a child. It was something where it was looked upon as God not showing favor, and God actually, something having transpired in that family so that God had said, you know what, they're not getting a child because of what they've done. And that's what the people thought. So just keep that in mind as we read through this and we hear some of the things. And Zechariah is this guy who is really just wanting to follow the Lord and is diving in to what he would have for him. And they've been praying for this child. It mentions about a child. And we're going to see what transpires here. In verse 8, it continues and says, one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. So he went into this one room where the presence of the Lord was, and no one else was seeing him, but they're all in like this room. So it'd be like if I went through those curtains and I lit this incense, and you guys were all in here praying. So that's what's going on right now. And then it says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord, their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. That would be awesome, right? Think about this. You're in this room, and then by yourself, there's all these people out here, and then this angel appears and tells you all this. You're going to have this son. He's going to be great. He's going to usher in the Lord. And, like, my natural instinct would be, oh, yeah, I'm excited. But Zechariah has a different response, and I think it might be a response that a lot of us actually have. And so Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. That's his nice way of saying his wife's old too. She's well along in her years. I'm old. And then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you the good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. And what we see here is that Zechariah, instead of responding with excitement at the Lord's provision for something that he's been praying for, and him and his wife have been praying for diligently, and they felt disgrace and shame for, he responds with are you sure? Really? I don't know. And I think that's kind of the more likely response that many of us might have. Is we want the proof, we want the evidence. And a lot of the times when God wants to speak to us, we miss out on saying okay, or miss out on the initial excitement because we're skeptical. Because even though we've been praying for something and we believe God provides, we're still not really sure we want to attribute this thing that seems like it's coming to fruition to God. And Zechariah gets punished, essentially. He gets silenced for 9 months. I don't know about you guys, but silence for like a couple minutes can sometimes be really hard for me. When I was a kid, when you had to do those times, oh, let's have a quiet time at home on Sunday afternoon for an hour. I don't know if you guys had that. That's like the most torturous thing. I would have taken spankings, or I would have taken like my toys getting taken away. And this was like supposed to be like an enjoyable, restful thing. It was the worst. I asked Kiana about that. She's like, I had no problem with that. So some of you might relate with some of the other side where it's like, silence is easy. For me, it was not easy. And sometimes, as a punishment, if you were doing something, I don't know if you guys had this, but sometimes as a punishment in the car, especially if me and my brother were arguing, we would get silenced. We'd say, you're not talking, or this gets taken away, and this gets taken away, or Nintendo time gets taken away this week, and that was like, oh no. There's one thing I value currently higher than speaking. It's my Nintendo hour after school. And that was being silent for 20 minutes. All right. silence. That was fun. But that was being silent for 20 minutes in the car on the way home. Was grueling. And Zechariah is put in this place where he's silent for 9 months plus whatever time it took them to get pregnant. Apparently, he still like went and got his wife pregnant, and which is awesome that she actually got pregnant and they conceive a child. But he is what they call dumb later on. He's mute for this entire time. And I can remember when I was at camp, we used to have these things called monk suppers. And they were supposed to teach you a lesson, teach you like how valuable it is to have conversation and how much you can reflect on your day and really talk to God in this quiet time at supper or at dinner. And to me, as an 8-year-old, and to our whole cabin as an 8-year-old, it was worth it to get the points because there were good prizes at camp, but barely. And it was a torturous hour-long dinner, sitting beside all of your friends, not being able to speak, just so you can get some points for Team Ketchup. That was our team's name for some reason. And we didn't learn the lesson. I'm not sure they communicated to us what being silent was for. I'm not sure. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they said, these are the things you're supposed to learn from being silent, from having this dinner that's quiet time, that's being with God. That just all went over my head. And I think a lot of the times when my dad told me to be silent, and me and my brother, the very next time, we would just get on each other, and then we get silence again, and we get silence again, and we didn't learn our lesson. And I think a lot of the time, when we're in Zechariah's shoes and we question God, we don't learn our lesson to rely upon Him even though He's provided for us. So let's see what happens to Zechariah. Elizabeth meets up with Mary, Jesus' mom. John, who's full of the Holy Spirit, jumps in Elizabeth's womb, excited ahead of time for the birth of the Son of God. And then we see this. In verse 57, it picks up and says, "When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony." Strange, right? But that's what they did. "They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, 'No, his name is John.'" "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." And instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. And then Zechariah gives this prophecy about his son and about the coming of Christ and about how his son's going to usher the way for Christ and how Christ is going to come and to be the savior of the world. And there's this exciting anticipation and building and knowledge that something new and something amazing is coming. Because Zechariah didn't spend his 9 months of silence stewing. He didn't spend his 9 months after questioning God, after having his moment of unbelief, snowballing into further unbelief and to distance with God, but instead he grew closer in his relationship with God because he was learning his lesson. Because he was beginning to understand that God is a God who provides, and when he says he's going to do something, he does it. And after 9 months of waiting, the very first thing that he does is he begins praising God. And I pray that our response, when we have moments of unbelief, when we have moments of feeling distant from God, and we feel silent, that we would look to Him and that we would trust in Him and that we would understand that He is a God of provision and He is a God of great anticipation. And that in those months leading up to John's birth, Can you imagine what it was like for Zechariah to not be able to tell everyone verbally that his wife was pregnant and get excited for such a thing? And thankfully, we're probably not going to be silenced for 9 months. But let this Advent season, at the turn of Thanksgiving, when we begin to build into the Christmas time, I don't know about you guys, but at my in-laws' house on Friday, we set up the tree. We put all the Christmas decorations. It was exciting. We listened to Christmas music all the way to Wisconsin and all the way home. I'm not even sick of it yet. It's so weird. You get married and you become soft and weird and start loving things that you never would have thought. But what it's doing, it's creating this anticipation and this excitement about Christmas that I haven't felt since I was a little kid. And in the same way that Zechariah was anticipating and excited for the birth of John, his son, he becomes also closer with God and relating with him and has this relationship with him that isn't like very many pre-Christ relationships that we see. He has this heart connection to God, and he begins to understand that there's this anticipation building in the world for the birth of both his son, but even more so, the Son of God that's going to wash away the sins of the world. So my challenge to you this week is that as you reflect on things and as you pray into things and as you see God provide things, make sure that you recognize where they come from. And if you hear something from God, make your response excited. But also know that if you have unbelief and you feel this tension of that you knew it wasn't right, take that silent moment to praise God, to reflect on him, to understand that in this season we begin to anticipate and be excited for the birth of a child, for the birth of Christ. Take those moments of unbelief, and instead of letting them be moments of dwelling, moments where you beat yourself up for not embracing what God had for you, take them as moments for maybe a quick apology, but then diving into this amazing relationship that God wants to have. Take moments in silence to appreciate all that he has done for you and all that he's going to do for you. And know that he is a God of provision and a God of excitement. And he wants us so badly to understand that when we have moments of unbelief, we can turn to him and he's going to build us up. He's going to make us a people of trust and true belief if we let him, if we let those silent moments turn into praise. We're going to have the worship team come up, and then we're going to have a silent moment of prayer, though. And in that moment of prayer, take some time to reflect on a couple things. First, on the provisions that God has already given. We just came out of Thanksgiving. And the mere fact that we're sitting in this room, there's a ton to be thankful for. And secondly, if you have any things where you've been unbelieving of, where you haven't embraced something that God's been speaking to you or been telling you, ask him to work on that. Ask him to bring belief to your life. Jesus had this this person that came to him, and he said, God, I need my son to be healed. And he said, you don't have faith. You don't have belief. And then he said, help my unbelief. And then Jesus says, okay. That's what he says. He says, I'm gonna see you where you're at, because I know you want this, even though you don't have the full striving towards it. He's someone who wants to meet us. Take this silent moment to reflect and to know that he is a God who provides and that you can trust in him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving thanks. And God, we pray that as we give thanks to you, that it would build something in us, that it would build up a relational appreciation for all that you have provided and all that you have given. And God, I pray that as we anticipate and that as we build and as this season comes, that the busyness wouldn't scare us, but God, that we would see that you are a God who provides and a God who builds our anticipation. God, thank you for everything that you have given us. And we pray that you would be enough, that we would believe in you, and that even when we don't, we would learn, and that we would grow, and then it would turn into praise. God, we love you, and we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.